You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goetz and Noah Gardner with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. I'm back. I called Lee Scott Baseball yesterday, but I am back here on the show. Noah, happy Wednesday. How are you, my man?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm back. I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back here on the show. We have a lot to talk about today on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. If you want to give us a call about anything going on in the sporting world, anything going on in your mind about sports in general, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. How'd the show go yesterday, man?
It was really good. I talked for about 2 hours on NBA development, whether or not Walker Kessler's ready to go pro, or it's in his best decisions to go pro currently, which I think it is, as well as I talked about the future of the Auburn basketball team and why I'm a little concerned at the moment. Now, granted, that could completely flip overnight. I ended the show yesterday with final take, and my final take was Auburn basketball, I don't think they're necessarily, and I think a lot of programs that are at the heights that Auburn is at right now, at least in where they are at in the Southeastern Conference, Arkansas, other teams like that, they're going to be able to reload every year through the transfer portal. I think there's going to be less of an emphasis on development. Not that it's not going to be part of a basketball program, but I think schools such as Auburn, major powers now in college basketball, let's get real, Auburn has gotten to that point now of being a major power in college basketball with the way that they recruit. It's going to be about getting in high value targets through, you know, high school seniors and recruiting and whatnot, but limited amounts of those players, right? There's not a ton. You're going to be more likely to recruit those types of guys and then transfers to rebuild your roster on a year-to-year basis. And then maybe a couple of guys, the last maybe, you know, quarter of your roster will be filled out with longer-term development guys. But look at how Auburn's roster was built out this year. Transfers and a freshman phenom, right? And I think that's exactly how Auburn's going to move forward from here on. And that was the kind of the final take. It said, yes, you look at what's leaving Auburn's basketball program right now, and it's genuinely the best part of the basketball team. What made this team so great this year and what made them what they were is leaving. But even though what's left, it needs to be cleaned up a little bit. It definitely needs to be added to, and there's definitely some roster building that needs to take place. Although that may be true, I think this is the norm and this is the reality of today's day and age in college basketball. There's definitely a nice crop of players out there for Auburn to be able to go and access. And in about a month, there is going to be the transfer portal full of eligible players for them to go after to bring in. And like I said, there are a couple of high-value decommitments from LSU, namely one that a lot of people are hot on, thinking that it's going to commit to Auburn, and that would be Traore, the LSU five-star center, and these would be some of the highest-rated recruits to ever come to Auburn University if these guys were to choose Auburn. They definitely changed the perspective. They definitely changed the perception of next year's team, but one thing is for sure, there's roster building going on with the Auburn basketball program.
Well, it sounds like you broke it down pretty good yesterday. I did not get a chance to listen. I was on the doubleheader call for Lee Scott Baseball, but on the show today, we are going to break down and continue to break down Auburn's upcoming depth chart for basketball coming up next season and possibly the next few seasons, especially with the not just a five-star center, but he's the best center in that class who has decommitted from LSU and could possibly come to Auburn. There's nothing official yet, but as of right now, it looks pretty good. But we will get to that as the show goes on. But again, if you want to call in, give us your opinion about anything going on in the sporting world, we want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. We want to hear from you right here on the Line. But Noah, let's start out with some Auburn baseball news. The Tigers traveled to Montgomery last night to take on a non-conference opponent in the South Alabama Jaguars, and They got down early in the ball game. It was back and forth once they made the comeback, but they did eventually win in a barn burner, 13-12. Your thoughts on the Tigers picking up another non-conference win?
Auburn can hit, but man, they're going to have to figure out pitching pretty soon. And we saw pitching be the reason why they didn't win this past weekend against Ole Miss. And granted, the first and the third games were ugly, really ugly from a score perspective. And I don't necessarily think Auburn's hitting popped off in those games either. But you saw what Auburn's hitting can be in game two against Ole Miss and how they were able to play, what was it, like 15 runs or whatever it was. I can't remember the exact score, but they played at double-digit runs on the number one team in the country. Teams don't just do that, and that's quite a statement, right? And so the big thing here is you see how Auburn's bats can keep them in and can help them win any ball game, but the reality is there's a lot of guys hurt right now. Talked with Jacob Hillman yesterday or 2 days ago, and he was talking about injuries to the pitching staff and the big ones, Joseph Gonzalez, and losing a starter like that just because of a blister on your finger, which is a big deal for pitchers. I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm just saying, like, those are the little annoying injuries that, like, actually end up that people wouldn't think if they don't follow baseball on a regular basis that can, like, really sidetrack a pitching staff, right? I mean, you just think, oh, it's just a blister. I mean, that's a big deal for a pitching staff, and it took him off the mound, and he could be off the mound this week too. And I would argue that this is a really crucial series for Auburn because this can set the tone. Auburn's got Texas A&M coming up this weekend, and it doesn't help that they are short-staffed as far as pitchers are concerned because Auburn could bring the bats this weekend, and I think they could handle A&M. I think they could straight-up body this team up and really plate some runs this weekend. And granted, they took 2 out of 3 against LSU, which was impressive, but they were largely unimpressive in non-conference play. And I'm not going to overreact to them taking 2 out of 3 against LSU because it's baseball. Anything can happen, right? And I definitely think what Auburn showed, the body of work for Auburn across this whole season compared to the body of work for Texas A&M this whole season, would tell you that Auburn is the better baseball team right now than Texas A&M is. Just the question is, do they have enough arms to make it through the weekend? I think it's imperative that Auburn wins at least 2 out of 3 this weekend against A&M. But I definitely think if Auburn's staff was fully healthy, it was on the cards, I think, for the way that Auburn's hitting the baseball, for them to sweep Texas A&M. Because, you know, even when you're running out of ammunition on the mound, you've always got it at the plate, and that's going to keep you in some of these games when they go to Sunday and it's pitcher by committee. The reality is Auburn just doesn't have a lot of arms right now, and it's going to make this weekend really tough against A&M, but I do think Auburn can take 2 out of 3, and if they could take 2 out of 3, that's going to put Auburn in a great spot in terms of the SEC standings through their first two series, especially with the difficult stretch that's about to come up in conference play.
Well, look at Auburn baseball's record so far this season. They're 15-6 overall. They're 1-2 in conference. Of course, they went 1-2 last weekend against Ole Miss. They're 11-5 at home. Haven't played an official away series yet. They've had 5 games neutral site. They're 4-1 in those ball games. Let me ask you this: through the first SEC series and with the SEC series coming up, how does, obviously you just broke down a little bit of Auburn's pitching staff being beat up, but if this staff was completely healthy, how confident are you in Auburn baseball going in to their next, let's say, 3 SEC series at Texas A&M, at LSU, who's ranked number 7 in the country, and then coming home for the number 2 ranked Vanderbilt Commodores?
I'm confident 100% for Texas A&M, and I don't think Auburn gets swept against LSU. Now, winning that series in Alex Box Stadium, that's a very difficult place to go.
Again, this is if all the pitchers are healthy. They are not, but I'm asking you this question if the pitchers are healthy.
LSU is a tough place to play, regardless of how healthy or not, right? And I think it was still possible. I mean, A&M just did it. A&M just took 2 out of 3 against LSU, so don't tell me that Auburn can't do it, right? Auburn could go in there and take 2 out of 3. I'm just saying the more likely scenario, and I think the most likely scenario there, and honestly something that I think you can live with, would be that you took 2 out of 3, maybe even you were able to sweep A&M, and then you went and you just took 1 against LSU and Vanderbilt in back-to-back series, because once again, Vanderbilt may be, that once again, they're going to be in contention for the top place in the country. They are one of those top teams. It's going to be difficult to even take 1 against those guys, but if you take 1 against both of those top 10 programs, top 5 in some regards this year, you know, I think when you look at the conference record, it's in a favorable spot when you've got some manageable series coming up after that.
If you want me to break it down, here's how I would say. Obviously, Auburn, and you talked about it, Auburn can hit the baseball. Okay, they have scored 13 In the last game against Ole Miss, they only scored two, but then they put 19 runs on the number one team in the country. And even in their loss, they still scored six, three, 10, eight. I mean, this team can hit the ball and they can score. Obviously, the pitching is where they get in trouble. But when you just compare this team to Texas A&M in this weekend series coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Auburn should be able to hit the ball and score more than Texas A&M, to where they don't have to rely on their pitching as much to get them through that type of a series. And that may be what Auburn has to do for the next few SEC series that they have coming up. Obviously, they're tough matchups. They are probably going to lose more than they will win in the next three to four series in the SEC. But if you're able to pick up a game or two in those series, I think that's extremely important for Auburn baseball. And the midweek non-conference game that they have. They have one game during the week that's out of conference. The next one is JSU, then UAB, and then Samford. Those have to be wins, if you ask me. I think those have to be wins for Auburn baseball. You have to be able to pick up those types of wins because of how tough the SEC is and Auburn's injury situation. I think those have to be wins, the midweek non-conference games. And then you can't get swept in the SEC series. You got to pick up one, sometimes two, against maybe not the one or two team in the country, but somebody like an LSU. If you could go to Baton Rouge and win two out of three, you're in a really good spot if you're Auburn baseball. What is Auburn's pitching injury scenario? Is that, are we going to see them like slowly start coming back, or is it like
I don't think it'll be, you know, gradual, but I mean, it's not like they're definitely missing a few guys, but I mean, they also need some guys to actually start being legitimate arms too,
exactly.
Right? Like, I mean, I think some of the guys that they brought in also like haven't done well this year,
yeah,
and that's just the reality of it. I mean, I think you need more out of players like Nathan Sheehan. I think you need more out of, you know, Hayden Mullins gave you what you need, but like Mason Barnett's got above a 4 ERA, and he's been the midweek starter, and I think you need more than that. Like
for
Mason
sure.
Barnett, for what he showed at times last year, and I'm not trying to go in on guys, okay, but I just think there are some players right now that did not get any better from last year, and that's a problem.
And when you're Auburn and you look at their schedule coming up, it has not been tough up to this point. Let's just be honest. They have not played tough teams besides Ole Miss and Texas Tech. Those are the two ranked teams that they've played. Yes, they beat Texas Tech, and yeah, they took one of three against Ole Miss. But when you break down their SEC schedule, I mean, they've got to have one of the hardest ones in the conference. Yes, they play at Texas A&M this weekend, but then next weekend it's at number 7 LSU, then at home against number 2 Vanderbilt, then at number 3 Mississippi State. You come home for South Carolina, you go at number 16 Tennessee, then you come home for number 4 Arkansas, and then finish up with Alabama, and then on the road at Kentucky. I mean, that's tough, man. I mean, there's three or four top 5 teams in that rotation that Auburn is going to have to compete, most of them on the road. So again, if you're Auburn baseball, the time is now to pick up the wins, because if things don't change and Auburn is still struggling to pitch when it comes down to those series against Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Mississippi State, this team is going to get blasted. And the bats, while they're good, I don't think they'll be able to keep up with some of those top-ranked teams.
I'm curious to see if that's some of those rankings are accurate that Auburn baseball's got on their website, because I know that's where you're getting them from.
Yeah, I'm on Auburn baseball's website. I do not
believe Mississippi State is a top 5 team right now.
Not
believe that.
See if we can find, like, is there a straight up college baseball ranking site, like on the NCAA or something like that?
I'm going to D1 baseball.
Okay, we'll see what
to
that
go and
is.
Figure out where they've got them out.
Those rankings are off of Auburn baseball's website, so I don't know when that's updated, but. Even so, I mean, even if Mississippi State is technically not ranked or not ranked that high.
That's a tough series, but I definitely think it's more manageable than what that ranking suggests, because Mississippi State's 11-7.
True.
And they've lost to a lot of bad baseball teams.
True.
Or subpar baseball teams.
But, again, when you break down Auburn's schedule, all but one of those tough matchups, well, they have Arkansas at home too, but they still have some tough matchups. They go to Tennessee, to Mississippi State, you know, to Kentucky, to LSU. Those are all tough series on the road, and then still having high-quality teams.
Mississippi State is no
in.
Longer ranked, according to D1 Baseball. It's top 25,
okay,
which
well,
I trust D1 Baseball more than any other site
for sure.
Baseball
well,
rankings.
Let me
and
ask
they're 12
you this.
And 9.
Yikes. So let me ask you this. Let's break down their schedule. A&M is not ranked, correct?
No, A&M is not even
what
close.
What is LSU, the next weekend series, March 31st, LSU is ranked
21st.
Okay, yeah, the rankings are definitely wrong.
No, I've been seeing this on Auburn Baseball's website. It is not accurate whatsoever.
Okay, next series is Vanderbilt. What are they?
Vanderbilt's number three.
Okay, so and State is not ranked, you said? South Carolina shouldn't be ranked.
South Carolina is not ranked.
Tennessee.
Tennessee is in the top five now.
Top five, okay. And then Arkansas.
Arkansas is number three.
Okay, and Alabama and Kentucky are not ranked, correct?
No.
Okay.
Definitely
so,
not.
Exactly. So Auburn still has two top five opponents on their schedule that they have to play this season. That's what I'm saying, man. The schedule, even if Mississippi State's not ranked, that's still a brutal road trip. Even if Kentucky's not ranked, that's still a tough road trip.
No doubt. The SEC, it's like that every year in the SEC, but I'm saying it's more favorable this year for Auburn, I think. You look up and down Auburn's schedule, Auburn baseball schedule, this may be one of the most favorable baseball schedules I feel like we've seen in recent memory.
But would you agree that the midweek games that they're playing against in-state, out-of-conference play or teams, those have to be wins for this team, more than not.
I definitely think the margin for error for this Auburn baseball team to make the NCAA tournament, that's the lens that we're talking about this in. I definitely think the margin for error for this Auburn baseball team is definitely slimmer than it is for most teams in the SEC because Auburn needs to have an attractive record at the end of the year. Not just, I mean, Auburn's probably going to finish 13-17. I think that would be an ideal. If I told you that Auburn finished the 13-17 and 10 games above 500, you probably think, all right, that team's on the bubble, but they've got a shot to make it into the dance because they're an SEC school, right? And I definitely think that that's possible with this Auburn baseball team. I think it's possible that they could get to 14-16 because I really do think, you look across the league, this is not as good of an SEC baseball. And that may sound like a hot take. And the SEC is great at baseball, but this is not as good as you're typically looking at it. Mississippi State, your defending national champions, they're 12-9 and they've lost to some teams, okay? They don't hit the baseball well. Their pitching is pretty much just kind of pedestrian numbers inside the SEC this year, kind of top six, but that's not a place where you'd expect Mississippi State baseball to live. I mean, they're 12-9. They've been beaten by some schools. I think that's a manageable series. That one's on the road, though, right? That one's at Indy Noble. Okay.
Yep.
So that's going to be tough that you have to go to a place like that, but still, I think it's college baseball. Play me anywhere, anytime, any place. Bring your bats. Let's play some ball. And I think Auburn can take a team that's barely above 500 right now. Granted, they've played a relatively difficult schedule, but it's clear that Mississippi State is not the same team that they've been over the last couple years. Additionally, Arkansas, though they're top five, they've won a lot of games really close because they are in that bottom half of the conference, bottom tier of the conference in terms of batting average. Their ability to plate runs has not been at a high level. They're winning games with their pitching staff.
But when you play a team like Auburn, their batting average is going to come up with how Auburn's pitching staff is.
Correct.
Right now.
I mean, it's kind of which is going to give. Is Auburn's hitting going to give or is Arkansas's pitching going to give? Which is it? But I still think what you're looking for, the ideal situation is that Auburn doesn't get swept by these teams. I think it's manageable that Auburn doesn't get swept by an Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, or an LSU. And if they can go and handle their business against teams like Alabama, who's 1-2 after this weekend, Kentucky got swept. South Carolina got swept. Those are two teams that are 0-3, and it's early. One weekend of baseball's in the books, right? I mean, it's too early to really glean a whole lot, and teams are going to get better. But Auburn, I think, is in a higher starting point than a lot of these teams that are on their schedule. Not Mississippi State or LSU or Arkansas or Vanderbilt, but there's also Alabama, Texas A&M, Kentucky, and South Carolina on that schedule. And I definitely think Auburn's ahead of those teams. And if they take care of business against those schools, if they win all of those series, maybe even sweep one of them, then you're looking at this Auburn baseball team definitely being in the mix to be in the NCAA tournament if they avoid utter catastrophe against other teams in the league.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it when we come back from the break before we go to the next break at 2:30. Obviously, the problem with this Auburn baseball team is the pitching staff, whether it's injury or guys not performing. How does Auburn fix those problems besides just getting guys back from injury? Besides that fact, how does Auburn fix the pitching situation on the baseball team? We'll be right back. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins and Noah Gardner with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Phone lines are open all day long. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Noah and I have been breaking down Auburn baseball. They won last night up in Montgomery 13-12 against the South Alabama Jaguars. They were down early in that game, had to come back, and then it was back and forth until Auburn eventually picked up the 13-12 win. And Noah, I asked you the question before we went to break. Obviously, the problem with Auburn baseball right now is the pitching staff is not producing. Either A, we've got guys injured that have not come back yet, or B, the guys that are currently pitching are not producing the way people in the coaching staff maybe thought they would. How does Auburn fix that and change that now that they are entering the heart of the SEC schedule?
You know what's funny? Auburn's still top six, top seven in a lot of major pitching categories in the SEC.
How is that
possible? It tells you what they were when they were fully healthy. And granted, Auburn's non-conference schedule may have been softer than some of the big dogs in the league that maybe had some of their numbers affected early on, and it all come out to equilibrium and sort out as conference play rolls around. And so I think Auburn's pitching staff, really, when it's fully healthy, is, you know, a top seven unit maybe in the league. I like the bullpen a lot. I think the bullpen's got some arms that when the starters are healthy and those guys don't have to be starters, that's the issue. Auburn's bullpen now has to start. I mean, Hayden Mullins had to start a game, right? I mean, that's somebody that you want in the bullpen. And he's done very well. That's not just because I call you a bullpen guy doesn't mean that I'm saying anything about you. Auburn needs a good bullpen. And I think Auburn's actually got a deeper staff than maybe what they were working with last year. The problem is several of their starters aren't healthy. I mean, you haven't had Joseph Gonzalez. I think Trace Bright's dealt with some things. I mean, you're missing two guys right there that have sub-2 ERAs. That's a problem. All right, you're missing two of your best guys right there, and Gonzalez has really emerged as kind of the leader of this staff, which is what you hoped he would. But, like, you need a little bit more out of Mason Barnett. I'm going to be real. He's got above a 5 ERA right now. He's got a 5.34 ERA. That's not where you want the guy to live, right? But, you know, I think the reality is they just got to get people healthy. This is the reality of Auburn baseball. You know, that they don't have the ability to recruit a team like Vanderbilt and Tennessee and other schools that just have a little bit more resources in their state, if you will, that Auburn baseball just doesn't have. And they're not going to have as deep a pitching staff as those teams. So you just need to be lucky and hope that you avoid injuries. And the reality is Auburn hasn't avoided those injuries this year, and that's nobody's fault. That's nobody's fault. It happens.
Well, that's part of baseball. That's part of sports. I mean, guys get injured, and it takes time to come back from those injuries. Here's what I don't want to see from Auburn, and this happens a lot in baseball. Auburn can obviously hit the ball. They're
top
score,
three in
right?
the SEC in major hitting categories across the board.
Exactly. And that is what has kept them in ball games and still winning ball games at times. You know, South Alabama, they picked up one against Ole Miss last weekend, right? That is a major thing for Auburn. That is their go-to in baseball right now, is hitting the ball.
Auburn's number two in the SEC in runs scored, only behind Tennessee, who's got 240 runs. That's like 60 more than Auburn.
That's ridiculous.
Well, they also played at 60 runs over 2 days against Iona. So just saying. I mean, they had 29 and 22 back-to-back days against Iona. So that's kind of why they're there. But
yeesh. Anyway, that goes to my point. Here's what I wanted to say. Here's what I don't want to see happen with Auburn baseball. Yes, they can hit the ball. They're one of the best in the league in hitting the ball and scoring runs right now. But the pitching staff has still let them down. Obviously, there's been games. Like in one of the games against Ole Miss, they only scored 2 runs. I get that. But here's what I don't want to see, and you see a lot of times in baseball, especially with so many games being played, when the defense and the pitching staff lets you down, the hitting begins to decline. And that's what I don't want to see from Auburn offensively on the baseball field and on the diamond, because when the pitching staff gives up 10 to 12 runs, it's really hard for the offense to get motivated to go out and want to hit the baseball and have to put up 15 runs to win ball games, right? Not saying that's going to happen, and all we can hope is that the pitching staff starts to get a little bit better and the guys become healthier and come back, the guys who are supposed to be starting instead of bullpen guys. But that's what I don't want to see, because we see it in baseball quite a bit, especially in the pros because they play so many games. But I don't want to see Auburn's offense begin to trail off and not have as much enthusiasm hitting the baseball and trying to score, knowing that the pitching staff may be giving up 10 to 12 runs in a ballgame.
Definitely a concern. I get it. It's the other way around, too, when you have lights out pitching but nobody can hit, which
exactly.
is definitely seen as the alternative for Auburn baseball. I understand that. I think Auburn's got a favorable schedule coming up, just kind of putting a bow on this. I think Auburn's got a favorable schedule coming up compared to what we typically would see in the smack dab middle of an SEC schedule, because I think some series have become more manageable than you think. Even a top five Arkansas team, I think, is a more manageable series, because you break down the numbers for
and
a team like
home.
That.
That's at home, by the way.
It is at home. I mean, you want to know about Arkansas? They're 12th in the SEC in batting average. They are, let's see, they are 12th in on-base percentage. They are 10th in runs scored. They're 13th in hits. You know, I mean, you look at it. I mean, the
it's
team like Arkansas,
for sure.
I mean, they now their pitching's lights out, right? But I think it's more manageable. Mississippi State's 12-9 out of the polls. LSU is kind of a more inconsistent. They're a good team, but I think they're inconsistent with it. You know, one weekend they'll look good, the next weekend they won't. LSU, people fell in love with LSU after the first weekend, and they were plating some major runs, and then they started playing some good teams, and now we've seen LSU kind of take a step back a little bit. LSU may be more manageable than we think on the road. I just think it's imperative Auburn wins against A&M.
Do you like them to sweep?
No, I just think they need to take 2 out of 3.
You have to, I think. I think you have to take 2 out of 3. One more thing I want to see, or I don't want to see, before we head to the 2:30 break, Auburn fans to continue support this Auburn baseball team. We saw last weekend it was almost a sellout every single day. Obviously, the number one team in the nation was in town, but that doesn't matter. I think this baseball team still has a lot of potential. They still have a lot of wins under their belt to come through the season. They have some big-time matchups at Plainsman Park this season, and that's what I still want to see, is the support for this Auburn baseball team, because I know you and I, for sure, still support
this
team.
They got to win. They got to win.
You got to get wins. You got to get wins when you need them. And Auburn is going to have to get some wins, not just at home, but even on the road as well. But as long as the Auburn fans still show up and support, winning at home is a lot more fun and it's a lot easier than winning on the road. Auburn baseball, long season ahead, but they got to get some wins. Let's head to a break. You're listening to On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins and Noah Gardner with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. 30 minutes into hour number one. If you've missed anything, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We will upload it immediately following us off the air at 4 o'clock. Phone lines are open all day long. We want to hear from you. Anything on your mind going on in the sporting world, give us a call right here on the Line. Trevor's over there waiting to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Noah, I'm sad that I missed out on your Auburn basketball breakdown for the future yesterday.
We had some great calls yesterday, I'm not going to lie. I had several great calls yesterday. They kind of pushed back a little bit. But that's
what we love.
Well, I enjoyed their takes, and although I disagree with a couple that were pointed out, I do think that, you know, they made fair points. I just don't think that Auburn's actually going to be able to develop some of the I don't think Auburn's going to be able to develop some of the shooters on the roster. But I do think that they're going to be able to develop every other area of their game. I just think the proof is in the pudding. Auburn has not developed really a single player's offensive game significantly to take them out of their tax bracket, if you will, to lift them up from one tier to another. You're going to have a hard time finding a player that really is statistically significantly improved from start to finish in their Auburn career from a shooting standpoint. And I'm purely just talking about shooting. I don't want people to take that the wrong way. Purely just speaking on shooting the basketball. Their field goal percentage or their three-point percentage, just purely discussing that, we didn't really see anybody's offensive game become more robust. We may have seen somebody take more shots, but pretty much what somebody was when they came to Auburn as an offensive player, yeah, that was pretty much who they were by the end of it, for the most part.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Do you have the answer? Because nope. I don't. I don't have the answer.
I can give you a long list of players. I mean,
I agree.
D'Angelo Purifoy, you know, I loved Malik Dunbar, but the statistics show also that he didn't really get that much better from first year to second year.
No.
Horace Spencer was the exact same player from start to finish.
Yep.
I loved me some Horace Spencer. I really did. But I'm just saying, offensive ability, we didn't really see these guys grow. This roster, we've had 3 years of Devin Cambridge throwing up rocks off of a backboard. Alan Flanagan got better from his first year to his second year, but then this year happens, so I need another year to know more, right? I need another year. Alan Flanagan, though, is definitely like the outlier here when you talk about some of these players. Austin Wiley, did he get better from start to finish?
No.
That's probably the biggest bust of the Bruce Pearl tenure as far as
Mr. comparing to his himself.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm just saying, comparing that to what his recruiting ranking was, I just don't think that these guys actually amounted to what they were brought in. I mean, these were top 50, top 75 recruits that I just listed out, aside from Malik Dunbar. Anthony McLemore even saw his numbers regress over time, every year,
really,
actually.
I would have thought he would have gotten a little bit better, especially through
freshman
the final
year
four
to
run.
Sophomore year, he got better, and then the injury happened, and he regressed every single year.
Fair enough.
Katie Johnson this season took a 10% hit. He was a 39% three-point shooter.
We know, bro. We know.
I'm just saying. Like,
no, I get it. I know.
I'm not trying to take a slight at any of these guys, because I think all of these guys were good basketball players at Auburn, and
they were.
It's definitely
absolutely
a different plane than the types of players that Auburn had originally, but they definitely did not develop as scorers, I don't think. I think they developed in other ways: rebounding, defense, playmaking. I think their bodies changed. I think they became more athletic. I think their basketball IQ definitely grew. The reason why I brought that up for yesterday was, you know, what's left with this basketball team right now, if this was your team this year, Auburn doesn't make the NCAA tournament, and they definitely would shoot well below 30% as a team from the three-point range. I mean, Jabari Smith's the only reason why this team even hit 30% from three. You take him off this team, all of a sudden, these guys, I mean, they shoot well below 30%, and that should worry you a little bit. But I say a little bit because roster building's going to happen, and this team right now that you're looking at, the roster for next year, 11 guys on scholarship, this is not the finished product. I imagine some guys are going to transfer, and I imagine a lot of guys are going to come in. Transfers are going to come in. You're going to get – I think Auburn's going to have a really good shot to get Traore. There's a lot of people talking about that. There's some – you know, whether it's a future cast or it's a 24/7 sports crystal ball, the rumor mill's churning, man. People are predicting Traore to come to Auburn. And then there's the other LSU transfer as well, whose name is currently a miss to me, but he's also a five-star small forward that I think Auburn will be in the mix in, but I don't know if Auburn will get him. But even if you don't get him, there's definitely going to be transfers out there that Auburn's going to be able to make the most of, and Auburn's going to be an NCAA tournament team again next year. Now, will Auburn be a two seed? I'm skeptical, but I also need to see what the roster looks like. The transfer portal will be full of major players going into next year. I mean, think about Oscar Tshiebwe, man. I mean, who would have thought, right? Oscar Tshiebwe ends up at Kentucky and turns into Shaq. You know what I mean? Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Turns into Shaq, you know what I mean? At least from a statistical standpoint. I mean, I think Shaq was definitely the better basketball player, don't get me wrong. But, like, I'm just saying, there are guys out there that Auburn's going to get that we just don't know exist yet that do exist.
The transfer portal is a magical place, right? It can produce.
Rico's time is now, jumps into the portal.
The transfer portal is a magical place that can produce just some of the most unbelievable talent you're ever going to see. But
anybody need a punter? I've got Dr. Pepper. Y'all know what commercial I'm talking about.
No,
I don't. You don't?
Is it the Dr. Pepper guy?
Yeah, the Fansville Dr. Pepper commercial where they're standing outside what looks like a cemetery, and it's the transfer portal, and they're like trying to prevent the star player whose name is Rico from going in. He's like, dude, you're only a sophomore. You're going to play. And he's like, Rico's time is now, and he jumps into the portal, and then what comes out in a second's a punter. And he's like, anybody need a punter? And they're like, and then he's like, I brought Dr. Pepper, and they're like, sign him up.
Oh, my God. That's about right. I mean, that's about right. And here's the thing about the transfer portal. It is going to be Auburn basketball's best friend for a while, I think. And not just Auburn. I think a bunch of schools, it's going to be their best friend. Yes, you still need to recruit those high-level players coming out of high school, but I don't think it's as hard anymore and as of importance to recruit straight out of high school or go get a guy who was a stud at another college like a Zeph Jasper or somebody like that.
Especially in basketball. Maybe not as much in football, but definitely in basketball.
I think basketball is where the transfer portal is really going to impact because of the limited amount of roster spots and the amount of talent each person has to have to compete on such a high-level basketball team and what each individual player, their impact on each team means, because there's only a select amount of guys. I mean, most teams only play 8 to 9 players consistently, if that. And so each person's role is very significant to what they do to that team's success and what they contribute to that team's success. And the transfer portal is going to be Auburn's best friend because, yes, they are still going to recruit high-level talent coming out of high school, but they're not going to get everybody because That's just the fact of the matter. Duke and Kentucky and other places like that are going to get guys more than Auburn, and that's just how it is.
I just got really upset because I realized Jelly Walker doesn't have any more collegiate eligibility.
Boo.
I wanted him to transfer.
That hurts. But this LSU transfer, the five-star center, the best center in his class, is in the transfer portal, and there's good rumors coming around. Yes,
going around. I think there's some positive vibes towards Auburn there.
That's a major player, impact player that can come into Auburn and make an instant impact because of his high skill set. So I think the transfer portal is going to be Auburn basketball's best friend for the next couple of years. What does this type of player do for Auburn if he does end up coming in to Auburn this LSU transfer?
Traore?
Yes.
Well, it gives you rim protection again that currently Auburn's not going to have.
Because Walker Kessler is more than likely gone, let's just be honest.
100%, and he should go.
He should. So should Jabari.
I think that it gives you some rim protection. It also gives you some scoring. It gives you general athleticism of the front court. It takes the attention away from Jalen Williams, who Bruce Pearl wants to build this team around going into next year, which I like Jalen Williams a lot. I think he's got the potential to be a 13 points a night kind of guy. I really do. I think he can help you stretch the floor.
I like him a lot too, but I'm going to give you my two cents, and I'm not a basketball coach, and Bruce is a lot smarter than me. But I just don't know and I like Jalen. I think he does a lot of good things. He brings a lot of good energy, a lot of hard effort to this team, rebounding, scoring, whatever. But is he really a player that you want to build your program around? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sold on that yet.
I'm going to be real. Jalen Williams was the most consistent threat for Auburn in their short NCAA tournament run this postseason. And I think Jalen Williams
100%.
Jalen Williams is honestly one of the most consistent players on the team, and I value that. Now, is he an alpha? Is he that dude?
Is he a stone cold killer?
That's what you're asking about right now. I know that. That's 100% what you're asking, and I think we saw that at times in 2020, but was that out of necessity, or was that because he is really that dude? And I think he can be that dude. He's got a lot of different tools in his box, right? Like, he's got a lot of different things he can go to out of his arsenal because he's got – he's got the three-point shooting ability. He can help you stretch the floor. I think he's got a mid-range shot. He's clearly athletic. I mean, do you remember the dunk off the backboard he had 3 years ago?
Yeah, and his rebounding ability. I mean, the dude does it all.
High energy.
But on a consistent basis to be the go-to guy, the alpha male, the heart of this basketball team, I just don't think we know that
yet. If you're asking me if Auburn can have four other subpar players on their starting five and it just be Jalen Williams,
exactly,
that ain't going to work. Obviously, that's not going to work. I don't think any front court player would help lead their team to an NCAA tournament under those pretenses. I don't think Jabari Smith could have done that if he had four bad players around him. I mean, we saw Auburn go 6-5 over their last 11 games. So, no, I don't think that's possible, but I don't think that's what we're going to be dealing with. And that's what the big thing is about Traore coming in, is now all of a sudden you've got two guys in the front court that you've got to worry about, right? And I do think if Auburn's backcourt can develop a little bit, if they can become a little bit if they can become a little bit more consistent, I think there's some real stuff to work with Wendell Green to turn him into a top-tier guard in the league. I see a lot of Jared Harper development trajectory there. If you'll remember, people were a little bit frustrated with Jared Harper after his freshman year.
Yep.
And I think this year may have been just, this could be an acclimation period for a guy like Wendell Green, who, if he can get a little bit quicker off the bounce, if he can be a little bit more consistent as a three-point shooter and make some layups, I think he ends up being a really good guard.
And you bring up having the two threats in the front court, but that's what Auburn had this year. They had two major threats in the front court, and again, the thing that always comes back is the guard play. And so, yes, a possible five-star center transfer, Traore, coming in from LSU would be fantastic, and still having him and Jalen Williams in the front court, yes, would be fantastic. But again, what's it come back to? Elite guard play. You've got to have not even elite. It just has to be good and consistent guard play. Auburn never had that this season. So I think it actually is.
I think what puts so much stress on the guards is you did not have a wing that could actually provide you consistent scoring to help you stretch the floor.
And teams knew who was going to be handling the basketball. Wendell Green and Zeb Jasper, KD Johnson. They knew that is who was going to be handling the basketball. And they weren't going to put it on the floor except KD. He was going to come in like a bull in a china shop. He was going to come in and go. But we never consistently saw Zep or Wendell take it to the hole. And I know their size hurts them, but Jared Harper was doing it. You know what I'm saying? Smaller point guards can do it. And we never saw that from Zep and Wendell on a consistent basis. So defenses knew all we have to do is extend our defense, and they can't do anything. And so if that can be developed on a scale from Wendell Green, I think that is going to help this team tremendously. And then when he becomes that scoring threat, one, he's got to shoot the ball better, and two, he's got to be able to drive it in and make a layup and finish with contact or in transition or contested layups, that type of thing. But when he starts doing that, then the front court of Jalen Williams and a possible Traore transfer from LSU, that's when they become so effective. And then you can start slipping them out because Jalen Williams can knock down a three. That is when all of that is going to start opening up. But again, it comes back to the guard play for Auburn. So would this transfer impact Auburn in a big way? Yes, absolutely. But if those things don't change, it'll be a Walker Kessler 2.0. Walker Kessler was very good for this basketball team. But over the last, five games, we saw him be shut down because they couldn't get him the ball. And he couldn't do what he does best, which is score over people.
Here's what Auburn needs. I'm going to go and tell you right now. Here's what Auburn needs. They need one. They need to go and find. And I don't know if they're going to have a scholarship available for this because it depends on some guys transferring out. But if they get a scholarship available for this, they need to go to the portal. They need to go get a guy who can be a true spot-up shooter out on the wing. They need to go to get a shooting guard or a small forward that can actually shoot the ball well. And I've heard Chance Westry can shoot it pretty well, but I've also heard that he's kind of a combo guard type, that maybe the three-point jump shot isn't like his first go-to. He's not Bryce Brown, okay? But he's also
– most people aren't.
He's also a taller guard, and he's able to attack, and he's a more athletic shooting guard than what Bryce Brown was. Bryce Brown was able to kill you from deep, but he wasn't much inside the arc, okay? And he didn't have a robust offensive game. I definitely think Chance Westry is more balanced throughout in his offensive game, offers you a little bit more, has more – things in his arsenal, but they need to go and get somebody out there. As much as people, Auburn people may not like me saying this, and he's definitely not coming back. I'm not advocating for this player, but you know, I think Justin Powell would have been a great fit on a team like this. I think he would have this past year. Now, obviously, that didn't work out that way, but you can't tell me that this coaching staff didn't love Justin Powell. I mean, we remember how they talked about Justin Powell last year in 2020 and how much his usage was, and we know that guy could shoot. And granted, this year at Tennessee, it wasn't great, but I'm saying a player like Justin Powell would be greatly appreciated on this Auburn basketball team on the wing because they need shooters. They don't have guys that can shoot. They don't.
They need somebody to get the ball to because, yes, you need to have a point guard that can handle the basketball and make plays, but he's got to have somebody to make the play too, and he cannot handle the basketball 80% of the time. And that's what defense has figured out about this team. I 100% agree, man. Auburn's got to have somebody. They need a stone cold killer on the wing that
I don't even think you need that.
But
I just think you need someone that can knock down shots.
It's got to be somebody that the defense is scared to leave open. That's got to be it. It's got to be somebody
draws
that the defense is out. Yes. Once you draw the defense out to one guy on the wing, what's that going to do? That's going to open up the inside where we're going to have Jalen Williams and possibly whoever's playing center for Auburn. Those guys will then be able to dominate and do what they do, and this team will be a five-man team on the floor instead of playing three-on-five most of the time because, let's be honest, the last few games of the season when Devin Cambridge stepped out for a three, the defense has let the man shoot because he bricked it every time. So if Auburn can have a man on the wing that can knock down shots to draw the defender out and have better point guard play, more consistent point guard play, things are going to live up and be a lot better on this Auburn basketball team. But that's a lot to change, and it's going to be a struggle, I think, in the next couple of years. But we'll see how it goes. Let's take a break. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins and Noah Gardner wrapping up hour number one of the Wednesday edition of the show. Phone lines are open all day long. We want to hear from you, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind, we're talking Auburn basketball, the future roster of what this team is going to be. We previewed a little Auburn baseball back in the first couple of segments. So we want to hear from you. Anything that's on your mind, if you want to ask us a question, if you want to debate, we don't care. We just want to hear from you. We want to hear from our listeners. Give us a call, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Noah, what else you got on this future Auburn depth chart? Because I know you broke it down yesterday a lot from a couple of positions. We've been talking about it some more. What else you got for me, man?
I think the front court's where you're going to see the most change. The backcourt, I don't think you're going to really see any change other than two freshmen coming in, and Chance Westry and Trey Donaldson. Front court, you're going to see some transfers, I think. I wouldn't be shocked if that happens. But I also can't name names. I don't know anybody for sure off the top of my head. That's just my guess.
That would be my guess as well. I think you're going to see a couple of guys. And again, we don't know anything. We don't have any inside info. But that's just, that is the nature of not just college basketball, but that's the nature of college sports as it is now with the transfer portal, NIL, that type of thing. It's just going to be, it's going to be the norm for college teams. You are going to have guys and girls in college sports transfer out every year, but you're going to have guys and girls transfer in every season. And that's just another part of being a coach now for college athletics, is having to deal with that situation when a player is not getting the time that they want and they feel that they can be better off somewhere else. That's exactly what they're going to do.
I also think conversations are had between coaches and players all across the country of like, hey, maybe here's not the best place. Now, they're not cutting them or anything.
It
goes like,
it goes both ways for sure.
I think
it,
the coaches in some ways are like, you might be better suited for you to go and find a another place to go and play some basketball.
And whatever that situation may be, whatever that might be, at 100%, it definitely goes both ways, whether it's a player going to the coach and saying, I want out, or the coach going to the player and saying, look, like, you know, not saying that I don't want you here, but it's probably exactly like you said, it may be better for you to go somewhere else. But again, that's the nature of college sports now. With the transfer portal, there's thousands of players in it all the time. Just people looking for a new home and looking for a new system that they will fit better in. So yes, it's probably more likely than not that Auburn basketball will have some transfers out, but then you've got to replace them and you've got to have guys come in, not just replace guys that transfer in and out, but guys that also go to the draft. I mean, Auburn's going to have two guys go to the NBA draft, they're Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith. So you've got to replace those guys, whether it's coming out of high school or on the NCAA, or in the transfer portal. You've got to go in there and find them. And you can't deny it. You can't deny that the transfer portal is a thing, that it is effective and it works, because that is the nature of college sports, especially college basketball. I talked about it last segment before we went to break. The transfer portal is going to be Auburn basketball's best friend for a long time to come, because you can get some really good players out of there. Auburn has already done so. Walker Kessler, Zeb Jasper, Wendell Green, those types of guys are big impact players, and you got to go find them because they're there, and find them for your specific system. That's it for hour number one. We'll be back for hour number two. You're listening to On the Line.
On the Line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins and Noah Gardner with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Hour number two officially underway on this Wednesday, March 23rd. Hope everybody's doing good out there. Hour number two officially underway here on the line. If you want to give us a call about anything going on in the sporting world, anything on your mind, sports related, we want to hear from you. Phone lines are open all day long. We want to hear from you, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. We're going to start hour number two like we always do, and that's going to be with Making Headlines.
Making Headlines.
Well, I had some Making Headlines on my little list here, but just as we were in the break coming from hour number one to hour number two, I saw something on Twitter, and it's about as official as you can get. Demetrius Davis, one of the five Auburn quarterbacks on the roster, he tweeted out 4 minutes ago, And it says, to all NCAA football coaches, if you believe in me, come get me. Hashtag transfer portal. So as it stands, it sounds like Demetrius Davis is transferring from Auburn. He is officially in the transfer portal. I have not looked to see if he is actually in the portal itself, but he has tweeted out that he is in the transfer portal. He will be leaving Auburn, trying to find a new home. So the quarterback room of five has been dwindled down to four. According to Demetrius Davis, him on Twitter, he tweeted it out. Again, it says, to all NCAA football coaches, if you believe in me, come get me. Hashtag transfer portal. So one of the five is officially in the transfer portal for Auburn quarterbacks. What does that mean for the quarterback room? What's your opinion and what's your thought on that news as it is breaking right here in hour number two of On the Line? I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Here's what I'll say. Demetrius Davis was here, and I know he had an impact on the practice field and in the locker room for Auburn. He did not see the field last year, really. You know, he wanted to wait and improve and try to get better and try to take the starting job this season. But as of right now, he is in the transfer portal. He is not coming back. He will not be a starter for Auburn. He's going to go and try and find a new home. Whether I'm not sure what happened. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know why he's transferring. I don't know why he wants out. I don't know if they told him you're not going to get the starting job or it just wasn't a fit with the coaching staff. Not sure what the situation is. I'm sure more news will come out as the day and the weeks go on. But
did he make a statement?
He tweeted it out. He said, to all NCAA football coaches, ... if you believe in me, come get me. Hashtag transfer portal. So Demetrius Davis, if you're just now joining us, he is in the transfer portal. One of the five QBs for Auburn is now in the portal. The room has been dwindled to four. Again, we want to hear from you, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Demetrius Davis in the transfer portal for Auburn.
What a statement, though. Wow.
What is that? I mean, what does that say to you, man?
If you believe in me, come and get me.
So does
that's
I mean,
like coming. That is, man. That's
heavy. That's heavy.
Whoa.
Your initial reaction, Noah, since you were just now hearing about it for the first time, as I am, he tweeted it out literally 7 minutes ago. So in between hour number one and hour number two here on the line, he tweeted it out.
That's wild.
I was not expecting that bomb today, but the room is now dwindled down. It went from five QBs in the Auburn quarterback room to four. Your reaction?
A year ago, I said this would happen. I said that he would not ever... It wasn't anything against Demetrius Davis. It wasn't anything against his skills and his ability, because I think he can be a starting quarterback somewhere in college football, and he could be really successful based off of everything that we heard about him in high school. Any team that would have recruited that guy would have been lucky to have him. I just didn't think he was a fit for the system. I didn't think that he was. I didn't think he fit what Brian Harsin wanted to do on offense. And so I think that's kind of what it is. And if you read too much into that, and I don't want to read too much into that statement, but obviously him saying something like that means that probably here at Auburn, he felt like they did. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, so maybe I shouldn't even go here. But I mean, most guys leave because they want an opportunity to play ball, right? And this coaching staff was probably, if he's leaving, was not going to give him a shot to play ball, right? Like, and you look at the other quarterbacks on the roster, and I ask you, who is the odd man out? Who is different than all the others? And it's Demetrius Davis.
Especially,
all of the other guys are at least 6'2", 6'3" tall, and Demetrius Davis is not. And that, and I mean, there's clearly a play style of quarterback that Brian Harsin wants. And it's not mobility, man. I know that he's got Robbie Ashford on the team, but I'm going to be real. I don't think Robbie Ashford ends up starting for Auburn either over Zach Calzada or TJ Finley or even Holden Garner. I mean, it's going to be quite a quarterback battle in a couple of years when Zach Calzada is no longer here, but then you're looking at a fourth-year or fifth-year Robbie Ashford or whatever it will be going against Holden Garner or whoever else is brought in down the line, right? I mean, I just think that Brian Harsin clearly has shown what type of quarterback he wants and the types of players that he's recruited and how he has coached the position and how we have seen the offense progress around the position what he's looking for. He's not looking for somebody that's going to run the read option. If he was looking for that, Bo would have carried the football a lot more last year, and it would have been a lot bigger part of the offense, and I think it would have helped the running game out a lot. And it was clear about midway through last season that Brian Harsin was not interested, or offensive coordinator, why am I forgetting his name? Why am I forgetting who the last OC was? Bobo. Yeah, there was clearly no I don't know why that name just completely went out of my brain. I guess I jettisoned him out like Brian Harsin did after the last day of the regular season. But it was clear that either Mike Bobo or Brian Harsin, one of them was not changing their system to fit the personnel on the roster.
And obviously the head coach won out on that argument.
And I mean, the reality
so.
And the reality is those two guys, you look at their track record of quarterbacks, they're not coach and read option guys. They're not. And then look at the players that they brought in. Once again, it is clear they want a guy who's got an arm, a big arm, and not saying that Demetrius Davis doesn't, but they want a guy with a big arm. They want a guy who's got a strong pocket presence, and they want a guy who's got some size on him. They want a guy who's 6'3", probably. I mean, I think all of them are 6'3", at least, right?
I think so,
the shortest is 6'3".
I think so.
To be fair, that's like average quarterback height in the NFL. And so he's recruiting NFL type quarterbacks, pro style quarterbacks is what he's recruiting. And Demetrius Davis, we knew from the start a year ago that was not it. And unfortunately, I mean, Demetrius Davis committed to this team without knowing that Brian Harsin was going to be the head coach. He signed with the team not knowing that Brian Harsin was going to be the head coach. And the reality is Brian Harsin came in and recruited a quarterback within like a month or a month and a half and Holden Gurner of him even being the head coach. And that should have told you everything you needed to know.
That definitely probably was not what Demetrius Davis wanted to hear. But if you're just now joining us, again, Demetrius Davis has tweeted out as of about 10 minutes ago to all the NCAA football coaches, if you believe in me, come get me, hashtag transfer portal. So Demetrius Davis is either already in the transfer portal or will be very soon for Auburn. He will not be a quarterback at Auburn anymore. And if you look at the current roster of quarterbacks, it has been dwindled from 5 to 4. It's Robbie Ashford, Zach Calzada, TJ Finley, and Holden Gurner on the roster at quarterback. And so let me ask you this. My initial take is, even this past season when Demetrius Davis played very, very little, was maybe there's a reason that he wasn't on the field. Whether it was he wanted to develop, that the coaches didn't think he was good enough. He did, you know, whatever the situation was, because nobody truly knows what the situation was. There's obviously a difference in, like you were talking about, Demetrius Davis's type of quarterback play versus what Brian Harsin and this staff want at the quarterback position. That's obvious, right? That is extremely obvious. But let me ask you this.
The different styles.
Not saying that Demetrius Davis is not a good quarterback, because let's be honest, we don't really know. We don't know what this guy can do. The only people that know are the coaching staff in practice. And just because he's transferring does not mean he's not good. It may just be he doesn't fit the system and that he knows he was not going to win this quarterback battle. But here's my question. Does Demetrius Davis transferring out of Auburn, does that speak more to Demetrius Davis wanting to leave, or does it speak more to the coaching staff not wanting him there?
That's hard because we're not in the room.
Right.
I think it could be both.
Let me rephrase that question. That didn't come out. I guess I had that better in my head than what than what I asked you that. But is it a difference of him just not being the system quarterback that they wanted, or that he just, you know, wasn't going to win the starting job? You know, there's different things going on here.
I'll be real. Demetrius Davis, every bit of messaging that you've gotten from Demetrius Davis to the public has been that he loves Auburn and wanted to be here. And so this does come as a shock to me that it happened before spring ended. I'll say this, this may be me reading in a little bit too much, but A-Day is what, April 9th? It's not that far, okay? We've been going through about a week of spring practice now, a little bit over a week, and it may have given us an insight to the quarterback battle. They may have just made a cut. Not saying that they cut him, but they may have trimmed the true quarterback battle of the spring down. The pecking order may be beginning to assemble, right? I mean, you don't make this decision unless it's clear that you're not going to get reps to actually get to compete to be the starting quarterback. You know, because if you have a legitimate shot at being the starting quarterback, you're not transferring in the thick of the quarterback race. You're gonna see that through, right? And so I think this gives you a unique look into that. Maybe the coaching staff, maybe didn't make cut wasn't the right word, but they definitely trimmed the actual amount of players that are truly competing in this quarterback battle. they trimmed that list.
I think, yeah, 100%. I either think, A, the coaching staff told him, hey, you're probably not going to be the starter out of these five, or B, he probably realized that on his own. One of those two things more than likely happened. Again, we don't know the details and everything, but Demetrius Davis is transferring from Auburn. And here's the tweet from Justin Ferguson. I think this is really good. He said, Demetrius Davis committed to one head coach, signed when there was no head coach, and played his freshman season for another head coach. And so he says, this is why the one-time transfer waiver was so important. He'll get to go through something of a normal recruitment now without any penalty. That's from Justin Ferguson on Twitter. I think that's 100% accurate. I think that makes complete sense. You already alluded to it a little bit, but he did. He committed to a head coach, then he signed with the team when they didn't have a head coach, and then played a season under another head coach.
You know what's great?
That's crazy.
You know what's great?
What?
He still has 4 years of eligibility.
Exactly.
Now, he can't take a red shirt again, which stinks, okay? So technically, a year of his of being in college was burned, and it's unfortunate, okay? But I do agree with Justin Ferguson there that it is good that he is able to transfer without penalty and get that year back. Just unfortunately, you know, and honestly, it may be, you know, teams out there may be like, look, we haven't seen you in college. We know what you did in high school, and now you've had a year inside college to develop. Teams may really value that, especially considering that he's got 4 years left. I'm sure somebody will key in. Honestly, bro, let's just be real. There's one coach out there that really liked this guy, really was excited to have him. And, man, it's really sunny there this time of year.
Yeah.
And it's great weather
right.
And there's a nice amusement park.
I would not
couple
be shocked.
A couple of nice amusement parks. There's a basketball team that just beat the Golden State Warriors and really got Draymond Green in his feels. There's a lot of stuff going on in that certain city in Florida.
Does Mickey Mouse reside there? Is that where he lives too?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Interesting.
Orlando, UCF, man. I'm telling you.
I would not be shocked at all to see him go to UCF. He wouldn't be the first Auburn transfer out of this system to go down there. And that's not a hate on any of them for doing that. You commit to a coach, you want to play for that coach, that's totally fine. But are you
shocked?
Oh, man,
he'd tear it up in the American.
Yeah, he probably. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
Or the Big 12 in a couple of years.
Right. But here's the thing. Do we really know how good this guy is? We know how he was in high school. He was a Texas high school star. I get that. But do we really know how good Demetrius Davis
don't.
Is in college? So then,
okay,
that,
well,
that's
let me,
my issue.
Let me play devil's advocate with okay. you. Do we really know how good Robbie Ashford or Holden Garner is?
No. No, we don't.
And there's definitely more optimism around those two players in the Auburn football program
yes.
than Demetrius Davis. And is that warranted?
Well, I would think so.
Why is it warranted?
Well,
that
I think
there's more optimism around those guys because they haven't done anything. Robbie Ashford rode
well,
the bench at
we're
Oregon.
Not, we're not inside the practice room. You know what I mean? We're not on the field, the practice
exactly.
field, in the film room. They obviously know something, and the coaches know more than what we know. There's a reason that Demetrius Davis is transferring, right? There's a reason, and it boils down
I think
to
it comes down to playing time. Probably
he was not going to be the starter. That's just got to be it. He was not either A, he was not going to be the starter, or B, he wasn't going to be a legitimate backup, and when there's five quarterbacks in the room and one guy transfers out, I mean, like you said, you don't transfer when you think you have a legitimate shot at playing.
But I'll say this. It's one thing, and I know you're not saying this, but I do want to, you know, make this known to people, though, that it's one thing to say that it's one thing to draw the conclusion that the guy was probably not going to be a starter, and that's why he transferred, right? I mean, there's four other quarterbacks in the room. It's easy to see that. It's a whole nother leap, a big leap at that, I think, to say that this guy's probably not any good.
Oh, I'm not saying that at all. Now, I will clarify that. I'm not saying that at all. I have no idea. And that's my point is I have no idea if this guy is the best thing that's ever happened to college football or if he's horrible. We have no idea how good Demetrius Davis is or how bad. We have no idea. And that's and him leaving Auburn does not mean he's a bad quarterback, does not mean he's a bad player.
Yeah, I'm going to be real. I think there's a lot of like athletic quarterbacks that you know clearly have great mobility, maybe don't have your prototypical pro-style height and dimensions and things like that
exactly.
and arm strength and whatnot, but there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that I think Brian Harsin would have passed on that are doing really well.
Think back to when Nick Marshall was on the Auburn. If Nick Marshall was on this team right now, he wouldn't be the starter. He would not be your quarterback under this system because of how Brian Harsin wants to run the
Auburn. Him, I don't think.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And so Demetrius Davis transferring, and again, if you're just joining us, Demetrius Davis tweeted out he's in the transfer portal. He'll be leaving Auburn. Him being in the portal does not mean he's a bad player, doesn't mean he's a bad guy, doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback. We have no idea how good or bad this guy truly is. We really don't. The only guys that know are Auburn's coaching staff, and they may think he's good or bad depending on their view of it and how they run the system, right? Him transferring, just I think it comes down to he was not going to get significant playing time. And again, doesn't mean he's good or bad, whatever. But in this system, he just doesn't fit. And that happens. And again, we talked about the transfer portal with basketball and Auburn. This is the same situation, but with Auburn football. If you don't fit the system, you don't fit the system. And that's okay. It happens. And especially since he was recruited by one coach, signed with no coach, and now playing against another one. I mean, that's how it goes. That's how it goes.
It is how it goes. And I wish the guy the best in his future endeavors. I hope he gets to see the field, and I hope he lights it up.
I do, too. I hope he has great success. I really do. Because, again, we have no idea. I want this guy to go somewhere and be legit. Let's head to the phone lines now before we head to break. 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Dan, welcome in.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going okay. You know, it's not shocking, the news, but, you know, I wish the kid the best. You know, he's obviously a fantastic athlete, but, you know, when you are 5'10", and, you know, we're trying to be a team that makes all the throws, and, you know, it's kind of hard to throw over the line and over the defense. You know, you have to pretty much have a guy or have an offense where you're literally going to have the quarterback run the ball, you know, every four or five times or every four or five plays to really make him, you know, take advantage of his abilities. And if that's not what the coaching staff's looking for, if we want to be a true passing team, you really got to have somebody, you know, that's at least in the 6'2 range or so or higher, really to make all the throws, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And look, there's no doubt that his height will limit him at times in the passing game, but that's, I think that just really, it reiterates what we're saying for him to go to another school and another system where he doesn't have to drop back and throw the ball 50 times in a game. He can run maybe a read option, triple option, something like that.
Yeah. And even I think, wasn't Nick Marshall like 6'1 or something? I mean, I think the problem is when you get down to 5'10", you're just, and I'm not saying, I guess the one guy in the NFL is 5'10 or something like that. He's pretty short, but he's like the only one. But, I mean, you know, I think he could be a pretty darn good running back, quite honestly, just watching the way he runs. But,
yeah, very well could be.
I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, we do too. Yeah. Well, Dan, you got anything else?
Appreciate it. No, that's it for now.
Okay, appreciate your call, Dan. That was Dan here on the line. I agree. I mean, look, I said it. His height is definitely going to limit him at times in the passing game, no matter where he is. Doesn't mean he can't throw. Again, we don't know. But I think he could go to another system where his athleticism can be put on display at the quarterback position. Let's take a break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Jacob Goins and Noah Gardner with you on the the Wednesday edition of the show. I'm good for about one of those a week. I normally get the day wrong at least once. It is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022.
What? 2022?
I'm checking. Just a reminder, man. Hey, if I forget the day, I can forget the year at times as well. Of course, the breaking news here in hour number two of On the Line, Demetrius Davis, the Auburn quarterback, one of the five quarterbacks in the room, has tweeted out that he is in the transfer portal as of about 20 minutes ago. He tweeted out to all NCAA football coaches, ... if you believe in me, come get me, # transfer portal. So he is in the portal. He will not get any playing time at the quarterback position for Auburn. We began breaking it down, and we just kind of talked about how we don't 100% know why he left, but
you can assume
that his style of play at quarterback just didn't fit the new system, and he committed under one coach, signed under no coach, and then played under a new coach. So
played.
Yeah.
Cue my Dr. Evil air quotes. Playing.
Yeah. Was on the team and practiced under a new coach. So look, we hope the best for him. I do, especially. I really do. I think he can be very good in a system that fits him, because that's just how college ball works. It doesn't matter what sport, you're not going to be good in every single system, because not every guy is the exact same.
You're right. I think it makes a lot of sense for him to go and look elsewhere, and he's going to have 4 years of eligibility. I wish the guy the best. As a friend of the program, Levi Fitzwater, texted me, hashtag free D. I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it. I hope he tears it up. I think there's plenty of examples of quarterbacks that are athletic, that are mobile first, you know, and develop into a solid passing quarterback if he goes to the right coach. I'm going to be real, man. Liberty's looking for a QB, probably.
Liberty, UCF.
And he did something big with a former Auburn quarterback who was known for their mobility and their speed, but knew that there were some things to work with his arm talent. Hugh Freeze knows how to use quarterbacks, knows how to get the most out of them. I think that would be a good option. I think UCF's a good option. You know who else has hit the transfer portal, Jacob?
Who?
The old Vanderbilt logo.
Oh, I saw that so bad. R.I.P. to the V and the star. I thought that was one of the best logos.
Get this. Reddit College Football just posted this on their Twitter account. Oh, this is a verified account, just saying. Okay, yeah. This is a verified account. Vanderbilt has quietly added an updated star V to their branding page, which was not there yesterday. And it's the new V, which I can't stand, in a star that kind of has a bit of a gradient on it. I'm not going to lie. It's brighter at the top and gets darker towards the bottom. But I'm going to be real. Auburn did this. I hated that logo. Vanderbilt's done this. And now somehow both logos, the Auburn logo that they did a couple years ago. Oh, man, that looks bad. They kind of look like that Vanderbilt star logo kind of, for some reason, reminds me a little bit of like what Auburn did a couple of years ago when they scrunched up the AU.
Yes, it looks so bad.
I couldn't get the image out of my brain that the Auburn logo, when they scrunched it up, made it look like Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc. I'm not going to lie, it did.
I never got that vibe, but you know,
it did. It looked like Mike Wazowski.
When Auburn did it, and they scrunched down the logo, do you know how much that changes? Think about every single logo just on campus at a school like Auburn.
Oh, they know
Vanderbilt.
That, and they were willing to do that.
Wild.
But here's what I'm trying to get at: what is wrong with these graphic design departments that they keep making these atrocious logos? Like,
I mean, the Vanderbilt one is bad. It's so plain, and it looks like the Virginia logo. Like, it looks like a lesser Virginia Cavaliers logo. I loved Vanderbilt's, I guess now old logo, the white V inside the black and gold star. I love that. And I saw people putting the picture of the new V on a football helmet. Look at that. And that's horrible. I mean, that's just, it's so...
Looks like the New York Jets helmet.
Yeah, it's just so blah.
Make that green.
Yeah, it's just so blah. Like, that's it. That's the logo. It's literally the gold helmet with a black V on it. Like, that's... I don't know why they...
It looks bad. Doesn't it look bad, Trevor?
Yeah, Trevor agrees.
Or do you like it, Trevor?
I like this one.
You like that one?
This one looks better than the other one.
Get out.
Look, there's the Virginia. Look,
that's the worst one.
This one?
Yeah, their standard like nameplate one that's got the Vanderbilt University next to the V. It looks bad. That V looks bad.
Look, this. So I'm trying to show you the Virginia V.
I see it.
With the swords under it. If you take that out, that's it. That's the new Vanderbilt logo. I don't know why they changed it. I guess just to keep. I mean, is it to stay relevant with logo? I don't know what the. I don't know why they do it, right? I don't know why they do it. I don't like the new logos of Vanderbilt. It's bad. Auburn did it, and they got a lot of flack for it. I had not
Vanderbilt's
seen,
getting a lot of flack.
Yes, they are. I had not seen where they made new ones with the star, because as of yesterday, they did not have the logos with the star behind it. It was just the V, the gold V with either no outline or the black outline. So I had not seen that where they made it with the star. I'm looking at it right now. It's still the same star, but it's the new V pasted in it, but it's a lot bigger coming out of the edges of the star.
I'm going to be real. They have a pretty bad logo history. Yeah. Trevor just showed me a picture with all of their logos in it. Man, like, what a time. That's not great. That's something. I like a lot of their, like, when they, I'm trying to remember, what the word mark ones where it's just like their, it's just their word, right? It's just Vanderbilt. I like a lot of their logos for that. Yeah, you saw what they did for Xavier posted that yesterday. You just showed me the V contorted into an L. Xavier posted that image yesterday after they beat Vanderbilt in the NIT.
No
way. And added Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, legit, they were hurt. They responded like, okay, good game anyway, bro. And then, like, I mean, their social media account was legit hurt. It's out there.
That is awesome. That is top-tier social media trolling by Xavier. Good for them, man. That's hilarious.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of a jerk move by Xavier to do that.
I think it's hilarious, man. That's so funny, dude. When you beat a team in a sport and their brand new logo comes out and it's already getting hated on and you turn it into an L, that's, dude, that's God tier. That is top tier social media content. Was it the actual Xavier basketball account or was it the Barstool account?
No, that was the real thing. I mean, it was their real account.
Dude, that is so funny.
Xavier basketball. I'm going to pull it up right now. I mean, it was not...
That's awesome, man.
Not cool, man.
Nah, it may not be cool, but it's really funny in my opinion. But
they
sure
said,
Vanderbilt
should
got,
have kept the old logo, ... and they contorted it into an L, and they sent that to him. And Vanderbilt men's basketball responded with, okay, period, good game, period, good luck in New York City, period.
Wow.
I mean, they were hurt.
That's
Vanderbilt
funny,
was hurt.
Dude. That's funny. Well... We just talked about Vanderbilt's new logo for 7 minutes, but we'll come back for the last 30 minutes. You're listening to On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins and Noah Gardner with you on the Monday edition of the show. It's Wednesday. I keep saying Monday. It's Wednesday. My days are all thrown off. But phone lines are still open. We got you for 30 more minutes here on the line. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I don't know why I keep saying Monday, man. Today's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's Wednesday. I had my usual Wednesday coffee this morning on campus going to class. I don't know what's going on. But now that it is 3:30, we want to bring back On the Line Q&A. We've got some good ones. We're going to adjust a little bit with the news of Demetrius Davis, one of the five quarterbacks in the room for Auburn, officially in the transfer portal as of about 3 o'clock. He tweeted out a little thing and then said hashtag transfer portal. So
before we get there, you want to know something that's funny? I need to do some research here. I don't think Xavier has a football program anymore. And the account, there was an Xavier account under that Vanderbilt thread that we were just talking about, mentioned that, hey, do you want to play? And they said, Vandy, when do you want to take that L in football?
Well, yeah, when you told me that, I'm pretty confident Xavier doesn't have
they
football.
They don't have football.
I lived up there.
Yeah,
they don't have football.
They don't have football anymore. They canceled in 1973. The account that DM'd them, or not DM'd them, called them out in that same Twitter thread that we were talking about in our previous segment, in their bio, it says undefeated since 1973, which is the last time that they played. Their last season was 1973.
That's so funny.
I'm pretty sure they played that's not too long after the Marshall incident. You know, we are Marshall because I'm pretty sure Marshall beat Xavier that football season.
Interesting.
Now, I think that was their first win back. I don't want to be wrong about that, so I need to look.
Well, when you told me that about their football, I was like, it didn't sit right with me because, you know, I'm up there from the Dayton area. I lived in Cincinnati for a while as well. I was like, wait a minute. I don't think Xavier has football. Obviously, UC does, but Xavier doesn't. But that's hilarious. Xavier trolling Vanderbilt on their logo change is that, dude, I don't care what anybody says. That is so funny to me. That
they did beat Xavier in 1971, 2 years before Xavier shut their program down, 15-13.
Interesting. Well, we've talked about Vanderbilt's terrible logo for long enough. Let's go to On the Line Q&A. And again, we're going to adjust this a little bit with Demetrius Davis announcing he is transferring out of Auburn to go somewhere else in the college football world. So, Noah, you and I are going to ask each other questions back and forth. If any of our listeners have a question for us that you want us to answer, give us a call, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. So let's ask this. My first question for you, Noah, is this good or bad news for the Auburn quarterback situation that Demetrius Davis is transferring and why?
I think it's neutral news. I'm going to take the cop-out answer. I don't think it matters. I think it's irrelevant. I think it was the first guy to lose in the quarterback battle. I think it gives us a look into the quarterback competition and that probably over the last couple of days, the coaching staff probably trimmed the reps a little bit. The pecking order is beginning to take some semblance. I would imagine you've only gotten so many practices before A-Day. I would imagine the pecking order is beginning to take place. And we had Zach Blackerby on yesterday, and he said pretty much the guy who comes out of the spring is the top dog is going to be the guy going against Zach Calzada in the fall. And so I'd imagine they're going to have one guy probably at the end of the spring, and then it's going to be a two-man race going into the fall. Whether or not they say that publicly, They only have so many practices. I mean, think about this. They only have a few more practices here in the spring. You know, they've only got a couple weeks left here. And then they only really get about a month, and they don't practice every day in fall camp, you know? I mean, think about it. I mean, it's pretty much only several weeks of practices before Auburn football plays a game.
That's scary.
Think about that. Think about how far away that is. I mean, there's really not that many practices until Auburn plays another game. I mean, just saying.
Yeah.
Six total weeks of practices?
I don't know exactly. I mean,
because they practice for like a month in fall camp, and then they've got like what, three more weeks until, or not even until A Day. So they've got like 7 to 8 weeks of total practice time before the Auburn football plays a game.
It's got to be more than that, right? They practice some all through the summer, don't they? Not do they not?
That's not sanctioned, Jacob. That's all players and having to work out and stuff like that. They're not. I mean, you're doing summer workouts and everything. That's why there's allotted off, blocked off practice time. Coaches aren't allowed to run practice in the summertime.
Interesting. But, I mean, they're still there. They're still learning. I mean, they're still they're not full-on practicing, but they are practicing. I mean, they're there.
They're working out, and I think they can get out there on their own and go and do stuff on their own. It's player-led stuff, but
I mean, it doesn't go for nothing, but here's my answer to the question of, does Demetrius Davis transferring out of Auburn, is that a good or a bad thing? I mean, it's a good thing, but not against Demetrius Davis. Nothing against him whatsoever, because I don't know him. We don't know what kind of a player. We know what kind of a player he is, but we don't know how good or bad he is. But I think it's a good thing that Auburn is beginning to trim down the quarterback room, because there's five guys in there, four now. You've got to start somewhere. And you said that Calzada is now hurt, correct? He's still kind of...
Well, the word around town is that he's not really doing a whole lot.
Right. Well, I don't know that. We don't really know 100%. But there's five guys in the room. You can't have all five of them going into fall practice, fall camp, with legitimate chances. You've got to start trimming that down. So I think it's good that they are starting to do that early. Nothing against Demetrius Davis at all. I hope the best for him. I really do. But I think it's good that the quarterback room is one less, because five is a lot. Let's just be real. Five quarterbacks in the same room, that's kind of a lot, especially when you don't know who the starter is going to be. So I think it's good that the Auburn coaching staff has started to trim down the quarterback room on campus.
Sure. I mean, it's a good thing, mapping it out like that, but I still think I just take it as neutral, just because I don't think that they're that much closer to really having a guy, right?
I mean, I think we knew he was probably last on that depth chart, but he is now
officially
gone. He's officially gone. So I guess that's the good side of it, right? That's the good side, that he's officially gone.
But you don't want the guy to go. That's why I said it's neutral. That's why I said it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a good thing that he personally is gone, but the fact that the quarterback room has been diminished from five to four.
You're saying you're happy. Let me rephrase it. You're saying that they're happy that they're at least taking steps in the pecking order.
Yes.
But I'm just saying that this was inevitable. And so Demetrius Davis leaving or not, I think it's neither good nor bad. I hope the guy does well in his future endeavors. Let's go to our next question on the line Q&A. What is your final take on the 2021-2022 college basketball season?
Ooh. Obviously, Auburn, it's not over. Assume. Yes, it's for Auburn. I mean, losing in the round of 32 to Miami with the amount of talent that was on this team, it was disappointing. I won't lie. It was disappointing. The season was a lot of fun. Okay, it was. It was a lot of fun when Auburn got to be the number one team in the country for the first time in program history. That was awesome. Auburn on an 18-game win streak. That was amazing, right? When this team, at one point this season, seemed to be unstoppable, unbeatable. And were we blinded a little bit? Sure. But at the time, they were playing great ball. This team was playing unbelievable basketball. And overall, it was a very fun Auburn basketball season. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad I was still a student and got to see Jabari Smith, one of the most talented players to ever come through Auburn, play at Auburn. But, of course, we wanted to see this team go farther in the tournament. We wanted to see an Elite Eight, a possible Final Four, a possible national championship. So the ending was disappointing, but the season overall was a blast. I can't lie.
Forgettable. That's my take. Forgettable. Jabari Smith isn't. And he's an incredible basketball player, but it does just kind of seem like, I think we're going to talk about the season like, did that year even happen kind of thing. Like, I do think there are going to be great teams to come along from here out. They may not have as good of a regular season record as this Auburn team did, but they may go a lot farther in the NCAA tournament. Bruce Pearl can go back to the Final Four. Bruce Pearl can get another number one basketball team. Bruce Pearl could win a national championship at Auburn at some point. I really do think that. It's really difficult to do that. But I think there are going to be other teams that are going to come along that are going to do more than this Auburn team did this year. And granted, this team did win the regular season championship. But, like, so did the 2000. And this SEC was a lot harder, okay? But I view this team very similar to how I view the 2017-2018 Auburn men's basketball team that got blown out by Clemson in the round of 32.
That was a bad one.
And don't tell me that wasn't a historic year. That was Auburn's first NCAA tournament since 2003.
Yeah.
People were going crazy about there.
But Auburn, a lot of people forget that season.
They do forget that season. That's why I said forgettable for this year. Because this team didn't do anything in the postseason. They did not do anything. Don't tell me they did something.
But
they
didn't. That season was forgettable because of the Final Four the next season. I think that probably, because when you look back in Auburn history, most Auburn fans, of course, we remember, you remember the bad years, right? And then you remember when Bruce was hired. Then there's a couple shady years, the year including getting blown out by Clemson. But then there was the Final Four year. And I feel like 2019 is that hard point of, like,
let
Auburn
me ask
basketball.
You this. Do you think people want to remember this year?
It's a good question. I think this year had a lot of potential to be a remembered season, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of personalities. There's a lot of fun. You're right. It was a blast at one point, but the way that people always remember how it ended. People always remember, what'd you do for me lately? What'd you do last, right?
But
and what
team,
they did last was not good.
This team and season will be remembered because Auburn got to be the number one team in the country. I think that is something that will be remembered because that's historical. That's in the history books. Auburn got to be the number one team in the country for the first time ever. For the first time ever, Auburn was the number one team in the country. That will be remembered. But
how much
also,
do people talk about 1999, though?
They talk about it.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It gets brought up. It's not like in every...
As a blip in history, like, oh yeah, remember that time that we were a one seed but we lost in the Sweet 16?
This will probably be a similar situation.
It's brought up for, like, the
situation.
Wrong reasons, I think.
Here's the thing. I think what happens in the next 4 to 5 seasons with Auburn basketball will determine how much this season is remembered. Because if nothing happens, then we'll remember
we'll
this
be
team.
Like, remember that time when we were good?
Yeah remember that time we were the number one team in the country, a favorite to win the national championship, and then they lost in the round of 32? But if this team goes on and Bruce Pearl goes and wins a national championship in the next 3 to 4 years, then no, this team won't be remembered. Jabari Smith will, Walker Kessler will, because those guys are going to go and play in the NBA, and every time you see them making highlights in the pros, you're going to say, wow, remember when they were on this team? I do.
I think that the natural response to the heartbreak at the end is that people are going to want to forget about it. And I think in a couple of years, maybe even next year, the Auburn's going to do another great thing, have another great team, could be number one again. I mean, I think Auburn's a major power in basketball right now, and I don't think that's going anywhere. And so I don't think negative things are about to happen from henceforth. And so I think it is going to be easy to just kind of think that team went to the round of 32. But likewise, the other side of the equation here, and people may not like how I'm describing this basketball season right now, but I'm going to be real. Like, Auburn basketball, this is a good thing that we're talking about Auburn basketball this way, because now we can discuss Auburn basketball in the lens of, let's get this thing a championship. Let's get this thing in the national perspective, because I'm going to tell you, Kentucky loses in the round of 32. I don't care how good they were. Forgettable.
Yeah. I agree.
You want to know, I know Kentucky fans. I got a couple of, I'm close to a couple of Kentucky fans in my life that went to school there. Man, let me tell you, They don't like to remember that 2015 season where they went 38-0. They don't like to remember it. Okay, they like to talk about it. They do they're like man, that was a great team. Yep. But it always ends with we lost in the Final Four. And I'm gonna tell you, this year's always gonna have a but attached to it.
Yep.
And you cannot say that that's not true. It's gonna have a but attached to it. We've been having a but attached to it all year long.
But any season's gonna have that unless you win it all.
I don't think that's true. 2019 doesn't.
Oh, yes.
I don't think it does.
What?
No, I don't think it does. Not like that. I think a lot of people are like, man, Virginia double dribble, and they're mad about that. But it wasn't Auburn, I don't think, that blew that.
If they show up for any of the first 30 minutes of the game, they win that easily.
But it's a Final Four. You can't tell me that that's attached with a butt. People say that.
It's 100% attached with a butt.
No, I don't think so.
That's 100%.
I think people use that as the biggest own on Alabama right now. that Auburn has on them, and they're constantly...
I don't use that against Alabama. I use it against ourselves. Auburn, that was a magical Final Four run, but they didn't win. They were the best team in that Final Four. If they play Texas Tech in the national championship, they beat Texas Tech by 20-plus in that national championship, that 2019
team. I don't think you know that for a fact, but I'm saying...
I'm pretty confident in it, though.
Sure, that team would win. Know that. Still, I don't think that there's as bad of a but, even if there is, because you did lose in the Final Four, but like, I don't think that people view that year negatively. I think they love that year. They remember it fondly. Everything that Auburn had to run through in 2019 to get to the Final Four, I think it is a beloved year.
The ending was negative, just as every other season is, unless you win it all.
Correct, but I don't think that it impacts the way that people view that season.
No, the season itself was still magical. There's no doubt. The 2019 Final Four
And I'm
run,
saying that the way that this year ended impacts the way that people view this season.
There's obviously a major difference, but if Auburn made it to the Elite Eight this season, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, we wouldn't, but that didn't happen. Exactly. They lost in the round of 32, and that's my take on this, is that this year is forgettable because Auburn made it to the round of 32. If Auburn made it to the Elite Eight of the Final Four, sure, they lose, and they lost in the Final Four, sure, but that year is still viewed as magical, and I don't think it has a negative impact or negative view on the way that we look at that year. We still look at that year as, that was special, we love that, whereas this year, I think, you're going to think back, and you're going to think back and you're like, man, what if? There's a lot of what ifs with this team. There is.
I agree.
I think there's far fewer with the Final Four team, 100%. That team wasn't expected to go that far. That was cherry on top, man. I mean, that team wasn't supposed to do that.
Right.
And obviously the refs cheated them out of it.
I get you.
For lack of
that,
a better term.
On that point, yes, I agree. This team had a lot more potential than that 2019 team, but coming into the tournament, we knew what this Auburn team was. We knew, I did. I knew this team was not, no offense, I love Auburn, but I knew the way they were playing and the problems that they had. We've talked about this 100 times. I knew they weren't going to do anything. But that 2019 team had no business. I mean, besides playing out of their minds, making it to the Final Four, but there's still a major what if. What if Auburn shows up for the first 30 minutes of that Final Four game? What if Auburn doesn't, or what if Auburn doesn't foul him, or what if Virginia doesn't double dribble, right? That's always going to be on that 2019 team. Yes, that has a lot more positive look and outlook to it and effect on this Auburn fan base and program, the 2019 season, than this season, but at the end of the day, this season was still unfortunate and disappointing. Let's head to the break. We'll be back to wrap up the show on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Just a few more minutes before we get out of here, but stick around at 4 o'clock. It'll be Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on the drive from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN 106.7. But let's head to the phone lines before we get out of here. 334-321-1390. Terry is with us on line one. Terry, welcome in.
I think he's on line two.
Terry, how you doing?
Great, guys. How y'all doing?
There you are. We're doing great. What you got for me, Terry?
Did I hear you guys correct? I've been out of touch a little bit today that Demetrius Davis has left the team.
He is. He tweeted at about 3 o'clock that he is in the transfer portal. Yes, sir.
Okay. That's an Everest-type loss, guys.
And why so? Why do you think that?
Because he's a guy with the mobility, the ability to turn a negative into a positive, and until you get the proper offensive line built, then it's going to show. And that offensive line, as horrible as it is, it's not going to all of a sudden be turned into this great offensive line that's going to get the quarterbacks murdered. And
I think Bo had a ton of mobility, though, and I don't think that still got Auburn anywhere, though, Terry.
But he basically won the LSU game for us, Noah.
He did, and I'm pleased to see your opinion on Bo change on after all the calls that we've had. But I'm just saying still, though, we've seen many a time that Bo's mobility, although it was great to have, you'd rather have it than not, 100%. You still need the offensive line to fix, right? Auburn wins more football games if the offensive line fixes. So I don't even know if Demetrius Davis has the passing ability that Bo even possessed. We just don't know any of that.
I don't know, and we're not going to know now because he's going to do what's best and go back out to Texas and probably compete at a higher level. But it's colossal size loss, guys, because you guys know this as well as I do. I have zero faith in Brian Harsin, and I want to know if anybody out there is going to be big enough to say, well, Terry, you were right when he goes 5-7 this year and totally screws up our program, which is what he's going to do. Just ask the high school coaches around the state.
It's very possible.
Just another proof positive that he's messing up everything. And that look, He goes 5-7. He's gone. We go out and get somebody that can actually coach football in the Southeastern Conference, knows how to recruit and develop players, talk to the players, talk to the parents, talk to the high school coaches. And get rid of Brian Harsin, let him go back to Idaho or wherever he wants to go. But it's going to happen, guys. I just want to know for anybody out there, you guys included, if you're going to be big enough to tell me I'm right and you were wrong, because it's going to happen. He's going to go 5-7. He's going to ruin the program, and he's just going to continue to destroy a program that's already behind their two biggest rivals. And nobody seems to want to accept that. Everybody wants to make excuses for the man. I got news for you. There are a lot of people coming over to my side on this, and less people on that side. They're recognizing the fact that he's a jerk and he's an imbecile, and he should not be the coach at Auburn right now.
Well, Terry, we'll have to wait for the end of the next football season to let you know if you're right or wrong. We appreciate the call, my man. We got to get to somebody else on the line. You too.
Take care.
We got Graham on the line with us now to wrap up the show. Graham, what's up, my man?
Hi, how we doing? Yeah, this is a little change of gears here, but I'm pretty good friends with a guy that goes to school down there, and we got to talking this weekend. I don't know if you guys knew, but the NCAA Wrestling Championships were this past weekend in Detroit, and I was just kind of thinking, you know, Missouri's the only school in the SEC that has wrestling, so I didn't know, you know, kind of curious what you guys thought as to maybe why that would be. You know, SEC is a powerhouse in just about every sport, yet they don't really hold much leeway in the wrestling community. I'm a wrestler myself. I know it's a little change of gears. I was just curious.
Well, the school you're alluding to is Missouri. They have wrestling because they are still in the Big 12 of wrestling. But, I mean, I just don't think wrestling is huge down here. Obviously, the SEC, like you said, they do. They dominate in most sports that they compete in. Wrestling's just not, it's, you know, down here, wrestling's just not the thing.
So many scholarships you can devote to men's sports. That's a reason why men's soccer doesn't exist in the Southeastern Conference.
Men's soccer
would exist before wrestling, probably.
Probably so. That's probably the biggest reason. Scholarships and then just viewership and money. Not saying it couldn't be successful down here. I know it's definitely a Big 10 and a Big 12 conference when it comes to wrestling and college wrestling, but I just don't know if the Southeastern Conference, A, would make enough money, or B, be able to give out enough scholarships. Graham, we're about to have to get out of here. We appreciate the call.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
That was Graham and Terry here on the line. Some good points. Bringing some wrestling conversation in here. I like it. I follow some college wrestling myself. I watch the NCAA championships when they're on, but to Terry's point, I don't know. I mean, Terry, if you're listening and if you're right when it comes to the end of the football season, I'll tell you were right. All right, I'll tell you were right. If Brian Harsin goes 5-7 and gets fired, I will tell you that you were right. But I think we just got to wait and see when it comes to whether the Demetrius Davis transferring is a good thing or not. We're going to have to wait. And we're also going to have to wait and see if Brian Harsin works out at Auburn. I know a lot of people, it's pretty much 50-50 down the middle, right? I mean, everybody either thinks he's going to be great or he's going to be terrible, and that's pretty much the assumption right now.
He was beloved when he was embattled, I'll say that.
Yeah.
People jumped on his side in hordes when he was embattled about a month and a half ago.
But what cures all?
Well, I mean, you got to win.
Exactly.
You got to win.
Winning cures all.
And he's got to win now, and that's going to help improving him. You tell me how hard it is to recruit when everything that just happened the last month and a half happened.
Oh, it's an uphill battle.
I mean, they destroyed recruiting when that happened.
But is he making his best effort? Only time's going to tell. The talent on the field will tell us as well. That's it for the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We will see you tomorrow. Stay safe. Talk to you later.